Well, good morning, River Run. One of you didn't answer. I'm just kidding. Good morning, everybody. And wow, that was such a great time of worship. Pastor Mitch was laying it on thick, but I got to say, it's great to have a reunion concert and have back our legendary worship leader, Pastor Mitch Todd. So let's hear it for him and the team this morning. That was a blessing, and you're in for a treat at the end of service as well as we close out our time together. But my name's Caleb. If you haven't met me before, my name's Caleb Ives, and I am part of the teaching team here at River Run. Also, my wife Latoya and I are part of the worship team here. And more than that, this has just been our community for the last year that God has given us the opportunity to be a part of. And so we are very grateful for that and love this church and love what God is doing and excited about the next couple of weeks as we all together are going to be connecting with this vision, dreaming big together as River Run of God, what is it that you want to do that we get to be a part of? And so I'm looking forward to that, and I hope you'll all be here to connect with that time. But over the last several weeks, we've been going through this series, Stories from the Streets, Loving Where You Live. And originally, I was told this week I could do whatever I wanted, which is very dangerous. If you don't know me very well, telling me, speak on whatever you want, could go anywhere and could take hours. I'm a little bit talkative, so I'll do my best. But as I was praying about it and was starting to think, Lord, what's on your heart, as opposed to what can I think of, I felt like there was one more week that the Lord was asking me just to continue to speak into this as the Lord's calling us as a community of Christ followers to love where we live. And so today, I'm going to talk about engaging people with the gospel or sharing the gospel. So let's bring that up, sharing the gospel, loving where you live. Now, I know that when I say sharing the gospel, you all think I don't have a megaphone or a speaker that I can take out, and I don't have a stack of tracks to go. Now, maybe if you're like me, there's certain things you associate with like what it means to go do evangelism, and you want to leave right now. Don't, please. Just stay with me. We're going to talk today about sharing the gospel. That's part of us loving where we live. And the word gospel means good news. And there's all different kinds of things that actually could be gospel, like good news, and not necessarily the biblical context of that. One example, I'll just think of one. As a cradle Michigan Wolverines fan, born in Michigan, was raised from the womb as a Michigan Wolverines fan. It was just gospel to me to look at a score of 33-17 yesterday, and I'm just kidding. Look, I decided to say that early. I posted a couple things on Facebook yesterday and was getting the heat, so now I can dig out of it for the next half an hour. So I'll just dive in early, and I was elated, but I recognize that while that was good news for me, it was not good news for everyone that's a part of my community around me where I live. I realized that, which is part of the reason it was so fun, okay? Shortly after I moved here, I got tickets to go to the Citrus Bowl when Michigan played Florida. Let's not talk about it. But I was there to see Michigan win that game. But anyways, it was good news for me, but it's not good news for everyone, okay? And by the way, I root for the Gators, except against Michigan. All right, now another example of good news as a Michigan boy is that Labor Day, while it does mark the end of summer in Michigan, in Florida, it just marks the end of sweating. And we get to continue summer, and we get to enjoy the summer more. That's how I think about it. It's like, this is the better part of the summer. From now until March is the better summer, and then there's the worst summer, then there's the better summer again, right? I love that. It's awesome. I'll still wear shorts and a t-shirt, but only have to change like twice a day instead of six times, okay? There's a lot of different examples of good news, all right? Gospel is not exclusive to the Bible, but the gospel, according to Scripture, is exclusive, and what it means is this, just to make sure we're on the same page when we talk about sharing the gospel. The gospel is the good news about what God has done for people like you and me through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we go. But I want you to know that when I say sharing the gospel, what I mean is sharing with others the good news about Jesus and how He has changed the world and changed our lives. Okay, so sharing the good news, sharing the gospel. But I want to talk for a minute about this idea of sharing. Over the last decade or so, one of the things that has completely changed the world is something called social media. Maybe you've heard of it. Okay, there's Facebook, that's the biggest one probably, and Twitter, which people hardly ever use. I do sometimes. Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube is social media. All these social media things, and it's amazing. I mean, Facebook alone, there are over 2 billion Facebook profiles that have been made. I mean, just think about that for a second. That's weird. This whole world, there's 7.5 billion people about. And 2 billion of them have a Facebook profile. And I mentioned in the earlier service, I know we've all got that one aunt who keeps getting hacked, who's created like 25 profiles and used up a lot of those. I realize that. But there are way more people than we can imagine that are a part of this world of Facebook. And in this time of social media, there's a term that's been stolen from the medical field and applied into the world of social media, and that's the term viral. Viral. Anybody ever heard of something going viral? Yes? Okay. I think we have. If not, you'll know in a second. So when something goes viral, it's like when you look at that video on Facebook and it says there's like 3 million views. And it's crazy. When something goes viral, it's when people are just in multiples looking at something and then passing it on to the world around them. And the weird thing about the world of viral things online is that anything can become viral. It could be some amazing musical performance that moves you to tears. Or it could be the worst musical performance you've ever seen in your life. And it's hilarious, right? It could be this adorable, cute, you know, video of like, I don't know, a puppy cuddling a kitten. Okay? Or it could be this really heartfelt, challenging, moving statement. Actually, I checked this out. Yes, I took time to Google search this. The most viral video of all time on YouTube is literally a video of a kid from England biting his brother's finger and then complaining to his mom. That kid complaining to his mom. And so many people have watched it. Over 800 million times. Human beings have thought, what do I want to do for the next 5 minutes? I'm going to watch a kid from England bite his brother's finger and that kid cry about it. Like, that's crazy, right? Anything can become viral. Now, the way that happens is this. You or I, or someone out there, we view something, we listen to something, we read something. And we say, wow, this has immense value to me. Either it's funny, it's moving, whatever. And you know what? I think that the people involved in my life connected to me through this network, I think that it would have value for them. And so what we do is we look to the bottom of that video or post and we click this button, share. And when we do that, we are making a statement actually to all of our friends in that network to say, this is something that matters to me and I viewed it, I input this and I felt like it would be valuable to you, like you would care about it. So we share it. But anything can become viral. And you know, that really is tied to what this means to be sharing the gospel. To be sharing the gospel. And as followers of Jesus, we're a part of the most viral movement that has ever happened in the history of the world. And it predates all social media and the ability to just click a button and let hundreds of people know. It starts with this man that dies on one hill outside one town in Israel. And somehow now, 2,000 years later, we are here today. We could be doing a bunch of different things. And we are here, you know, at varying degrees of interest and commitment or wondering or questioning. But we're all here because of that guy. Because somehow we've heard about this person of Jesus and these people who follow him. That's amazing. And the book of Acts shows us the way this viral movement began. And there's a few things I just want to point out from that book that I think help us to see why it was so easy to take this message about a man outside Jerusalem and see it reaching to the capital city of Rome in the known world of the time. And let's just look at a couple of these. So the first one is found in Acts 1:8. It says this, just at the very beginning, Jesus is about to go up to heaven. If you don't know the story, he died, and then a few days later, he rose from the dead. That's an amazing thing that we can talk about more. It's crazy. He rose from the dead, he spends 40 days with his followers, and then he's going to leave and go up to heaven with the Father. And before he does, he looks at this about 120 people, And, you know, they aren't just the people you think of, Peter, John, Paul wasn't there. It weren't just the disciples. 120 men, women, older, younger, richer, poorer, taller, shorter, multiple political parties, maybe, I don't know. But for sure, we've got the business people and tax collectors and fishermen, all kinds of people. And he looks at them and he says the same thing to all of them. He says this, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, if you don't know all those geographical locations, don't worry about it right now. That's not the point today. Here's what I want you to see. Jesus looks at this group of everybody's and says to them, "All right, the Holy Spirit is going to come to you. And when he does, you are going to have a power and a boldness and a courage that you don't have right now. And the purpose of that is that you're going to be a witness about me, starting in your own city. And my end, the big vision of this is that the ends of the earth will know about me." Well, that sounds crazy when you think. Those guys didn't know the Americas existed, right? They had no idea what the ends of the earth even meant. But Jesus cast this huge vision of what the mission was. But the first thing I want you to realize is everyone is involved. Why could it become viral? Well, because everyone is involved. And the second thing is like it. Everyone is able. Everyone is able. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are two of these everybody's. And they go and they're walking along and there's a crippled beggar that's been there for years. And he asks for money and they reach down and they pray for him in Jesus' name. The guy gets healed. He stands up, crazy. And so obvious reasons, a crowd gathers and think, "What in the world is going on here?" And Peter and John take that opportunity to share the good news about Jesus. And there's some people that don't like that in the city. They hate that message because it violates the way they want the world to work. And they put them on trial and they say this, the members of the council, these people that are accusing them, "They were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men." Say ordinary. Ordinary. Say ordinary. Ordinary. Yeah, there you go. Ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. So this became viral because everyone was involved and everyone was able. Everyone is able to share the gospel, and we'll talk about this more in just a few minutes. But they look at these two guys, Peter and John, and I know you and me, if we've read our Bible, we think they're different than us. But the world looked at them and thought, these guys are losers. There is nothing cool about these guys. They don't have a seminary degree. They haven't even got a college degree. What are they doing? They look at them and they notice two things. They're ordinary and they have no special training. The only thing that's different about them than everybody else I just walked by in the street, that these guys have been with Jesus. See, the gospel began to spread like a viral message because everyone got involved and everyone was able and they knew they were. And let's bring up this next thing. So it's everyone. It's also every day. Acts chapter 2 begins to describe the way this first community, like River Run, is the first ever community of followers of Christ who were in a city. It's the city of Jerusalem. It describes the way they were doing life, and this is what it says. They worshiped together, met in homes, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. That sounds like our neighborhood groups, right? Listen to this. "And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." Each day. See, one of the power of this movement that was going on in the world that is still going on today is that it involved everyone and it happened every day. Oftentimes, sharing the gospel, and we'll talk about why this is in a little bit, but it's been resigned to being a Sunday to Sunday event. Or maybe even a Easter to Easter event. But what we see with our original kind of the beginning of our family, the followers of Christ, is that it was an everyday thing. And everyone was involved. And it's spreading rapidly. Everyone. Every day. You know, and I'll just say this. I haven't done any research on this, but I think the vast majority of people who have a long-term relationship with Christ, that started not necessarily on a Sunday morning. Now, maybe they heard something and came to an altar on a Sunday morning, but that started on a Tuesday at work or on a Thursday afternoon when their neighbor talked to them or when their parents talked to them at the table. Most of the long-term relationships with Christ have started outside of Sunday, but started every day with just the everyday everybody. And the last thing, everyone every day, and it happened everywhere. In Acts chapter 7, there's this real turning point in the book of Acts. And this is not a whole overview, but as we're watching this viral spreading of this good news about this man that died on a cross in one town. In Acts chapter 7, at this point, all the followers of Christ, well, the majority of them, at least in the story of Acts, they're all in the same town still. They're in Jerusalem. But one of their newer leaders, his name's Stephen, and he ends up getting murdered, getting killed, martyred for the gospel because he professes Jesus. And those same people who were mad at Peter and John get real mad at him, and they throw stones at him till he dies. And after that, they get kind of this rage built up, and they start persecuting all the Christians in town. And this is what happens. A great wave of persecution began. This is Acts 8, 1 through 4. And all the believers were scattered. But the believers who were scattered, look what they do. They preach the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Say wherever. Wherever. Yeah, everyone is involved. Everyone is able. It's happening every day and it's happening everywhere they go. You know, at this point in the story, there's this nameless group called the believers. These people who put faith in Jesus Christ, in the truth of the gospel. And when they did, they believed that that meant following Christ results in sharing about him with others. Following Christ means sharing the gospel. They just knew that was the case because that was how it would spread. That was Jesus' plan for how the world would know. He would use everyone, every day, everywhere. Extroverts and introverts. Loud personalities and people who are soft-spoken. The naturally confident and the naturally nervous. Everyone, everywhere, every day. So it's our part. Sharing the gospel. And you and I are here as a result of this viral movement because it continues to happen. That started in this one town, and now there are people, there are Christians in every continent of the world, in every generation for the last 2,000 years. People have been following Christ and believed that that meant sharing the gospel. And over, one by one, people have been added to this family forever life with God. So two questions I want us to think about as we're wrapping up this series of loving where we live. The first, we're called to share the gospel. So the first question is, am I ready to share? You know, we are both recipients of, results of, and participants in this movement that started with the person of Jesus Christ, continues in the person of Jesus Christ through people like you and me. We're called to be participants in it. Am I ready to share the gospel? I want to read this passage from 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Peter is writing to Christians farther down the road as it spreads city to city and region to region. And he's writing to them as they're facing opposition and persecution and living in communities where not everybody believes in this Jesus. What do? And Peter encourages them with this. He says, if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Now, the first thing I would point out to this, and other translations take that explaining, and it translates a little bit better as answer. That sharing the gospel, Peter says, that is really the answer to a question. It's the response. Now, there are a lot of forms of evangelism, and they're all many of them are very good and important. But what Peter's describing here, I just want us to notice something. He's describing what tends to be the pattern of how people come to know Jesus Christ. That the beginning of the conversation is found in me choosing to love and serve someone. As they see the hope that I have, at some point the Lord cracks open their heart for them to invite the opportunity for me to share now with them. I don't always like that moment, because it's already hard for me to love and serve people, but it's even harder for me to take the risk of sharing my story with them, like we talked about last week, or sharing Christ. You know why? Because I like everybody to like me. I really like everybody to like me and get along with me. And if I look at the Bible, not everybody likes the good news about Jesus at first. And some people never like it. And there's a chance that it might be awkward, and the person might say, I don't want to talk about it. You know, in much of the world, they're looking at a way more severe response than that. But that's enough for me to not want to do it. But am I ready to give an answer? And let me say this as well. There's three aspects of what I mean when I say sharing the gospel. And the first one, you'll see them up here: lifestyle, the testimony, and invitation. So the first one is lifestyle. And Peter says that. Let them see, live with a good conscience, with gentleness and respect, communicate this answer. And let them live in a way so that when they want to say, you're phony, you're fake, that they look at your life and they're like, well, there's evidence that there is something changed in them. Now, I am hesitant to say even sharing the gospel through your lifestyle, because I know where I go with that, and you all do too. Ugh. There's this invisible line ahead of us of perfection that we're not at yet. And we think, well, once I can figure out how to get my kids to all obey me, then I'll share the gospel with my neighbors. Or if you're like me, once I can figure out how to not have my kids scream at each other in the front yard, then I'll be willing to engage with the gospel. Until then, I'm just going to be like, hi, I'm Caleb. I do stuff and I have a family. That's it. I don't want to mention that I'm like a Christian, or like for me that I'm in a ministry thing, because my kid's screaming in the front yard and woke you up at 7. Okay, that happens to me. All right. So for all of us, there's this invisible line of perfection. Oh, once I can completely stop sinning and know that I won't ever mess up, then I'll share with that person. That's not what I mean. See, a lifestyle that's ready to share the gospel is a life that is lived honestly. See, if God's story is this, that he loves people not because they're perfect, but because he loves them, and he loves them in the midst of their brokenness, then there's nothing wrong with me sharing the gospel with someone and then ending up showing them in some way that I'm still got brokenness. And sometimes I lose my temper, even with them maybe. Or I walk by them and don't say hi at the grocery store. Sometimes my brokenness shows. That's okay. But am I willing to live a open and transparent and honest life with that person? And the second is, am I willing to love them? Because probably if I'm not ready to love and serve someone, I don't need to jump right to sharing the gospel about how God loves them, but I sure don't. You know? This is a challenge for me for real, outside of a church realm. I describe myself as I'm a backyard person. I'm a back porch person. So when I go home, I like to know that no one's going to bother me. Now, my 4 kids have completely ruined that already. And the last thing I really want to do in my flesh is invite my neighbors to also ruin that. Right? I'm watching a game. Please don't knock. Right? That's what part of me thinks. But God gave me a wife who is a front porch person, who wants to say hi to everybody, and kids that like doing lemonade stands on Saturdays during a football game. And they're always doing, and it just stresses me out, and I'm like, oh man. And through them, guess what? I've come to know all my neighbors in my 2 neighborhoods so far. You see, if I'm not ready to love and serve, and if I'm not ready to live an honest life with them, to engage them with the real me, then I need to say, Lord, help me to be more like you. And Lord, help me to love them enough to engage them, not just with a message I throw across the yard, but with a life that I'm willing to come and join them in theirs. So am I ready? Ready to share the gospel means in lifestyle, and second is in testimony. And this is one of those things, everybody's able. So that sharing the gospel does not require a seminary degree. One of the problems of our world today is we created this context where, you know, we have these mass evangelists who are the best communicators in the world. And then people stand in front of us, like right now, with lights on them and PowerPoints, right, and a microphone, and they communicate something they prepared, and we think, I can't do that, so I can't share the gospel. But you can. You can. The most powerful missionaries in the world are those that engage their neighbor. That is how the world has changed. Jesus' plan was not, plan a service every week where the best communicator amongst you stands up and talks. No, he said, everybody, everywhere, every day, take this message and the person of who I am and go tell whoever's in front of you. Testimony. Last week, Pastor Mitch did a great job of setting us up with that. And he told you all, if you weren't here, he said, look, write down these three things and think about how you'd share them with someone else, sharing your story. And the three things were who you were before you came to know Christ, how God saved you and you came into relationship with Jesus, and what your life has been like and how it's been different since you started following him. The reason he can say those is that sharing the gospel is the same way. There are these three basic things that are true not only for each of us individually but for all of humanity. And I want to give you a few scriptures you can write down and you can think about those and how they summarize the gospel, but they do it in the same way as our story is summarized. Before Christ, salvation in Christ, and new life through him. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. You can write that one down. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. These are short readings. You can do them in just a few minutes. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. The second one, Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Titus, yeah, it's a book of the Bible. Maybe you haven't read it in a while. It's in there, though. Promise. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. I don't read it very much either. I get it. And then the third one is Colossians. Colossians 1, verse 13, and verses 21 and 22. There's these three passages that where Paul kind of summarizes what this whole message is that we all carry with us about Jesus. And I'll just reference Ephesians says it kind of like this, that, man, everybody, we're all dead in our sins. And we're like trapped, and we can't get out of disobeying God. And we're like children of wrath, it described us as. And this says, but God, because of his great mercy and the way he loved us, he saved us, not because we'd done good things, but because he's good and gracious. He didn't just save us from that, but he brought us in. And now there's two things that are true for me forever and true for everybody in Jesus. That we have a forever home with Christ in heaven with the Father. And we live this life now, created through Christ to do good works that the Father has prepared for us. Colossians 1 verse 13 sums it up really quick and says, all of us, we're all in the dominion of darkness, which means like we're all trapped in the dark, in a dark room, and we don't have a light switch. And there's no way out and we're just hopeless. He says, but God did this. He says, he rescued us from that. And he didn't just rescue us from darkness, but now he brought us into a kingdom where Jesus, the beloved Son of the Father, that he is king. And he leads us. And he takes care of us. See, the reason we can say our stories as followers of Christ are 1, 2, 3 is because the gospel is really 1, 2, 3. Or ABC. And all of us can be ready. And even right now, in the last 5 minutes, we're all ready. We can answer this question. Yeah, we are ready to share the testimony of the gospel. The third thing is invitation. And I'll just say two things about that, I promise. I'm almost done. Invitation. Two forms of this. See, when I share my story, because I've been living a life that has invited them into me, into my story, then I share my story. The third part of that is invitation, but it's invitation into two things. I invite you into this relationship that I've got with the Father, this relationship with God. And we'll look at a scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 that talks about that in a moment. And also, I invite you into the relationship with my community, this community of followers of Christ that is, you don't do this alone. There's a whole family of us that struggle and stumble and mess up. But we all look at each other, we encourage each other, and we all remind one another we are loved by God. And we are created for relationship with Him. And we're created to engage this world with the good news about Jesus Christ. So am I ready to share the gospel? And the answer is yes. Yes, for the vast majority of us, if you are in Christ, we are ready. But the second question is a lot harder for me to answer. And it's this: am I willing to share the gospel? Am I willing to share the great news about Jesus and what He has done to change the world and to change the life of everyone who will just trust in Him? Am I willing? When we ask the question of willingness, what we're really asking is, are you willing to do the harder thing to have what's better? Will you do what's harder to have what's better? For the majority of us, there may be a few unique, mutant, super confident extroverts here that when you think about telling someone, like sharing the gospel, you're like, yeah, no nerves at all. But almost all of us, there will never be a point in our life where the easiest next 15 minutes is sitting across the table from someone that I got a friendship with and I've been maybe cutting their grass or sharing coffee and feeling that moment where it's like their heart's cracked open and they're asking. There will never be a point where we're like, oh, the easiest thing right now is to talk to them about Jesus and how He has rescued me and how He invites them to be rescued and loved as well. But it will always be the better thing. Am I willing to share the gospel? Am I willing to do what's harder in the moment, to have what's better forever? That person can join me in realizing I'm loved by the God of the universe. And He'll never leave me alone, and I'll be with Him for a billion, billion years. Am I ready? Yeah, I'm ready. I'm prepared. Am I willing? Not always. I want to read this passage from 2 Corinthians 5 before we close this morning. It says this: Christ's love urges us on. Let's pause there for a second. It could be that as we're talking this morning, there's something in you that's like thinking of that person at work or that person in your family or that neighbor. And there's just something in there. Well, that's the love of Christ. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit that kind of messes with us. It starts pulling us into the uncomfortable obedience of sharing Christ with others. Christ's love urges us on. He died for everyone so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to Himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. I don't know why God decided this was how He would do it. I don't know, because I know me and I'm messed up and I screw up. And in those kind of moments, I stumble over my words and I get sweaty armpits and my mouth gets all dry. For whatever reason, God has decided that the way that the world around will know that they are loved by Him to the point that He sent His Son to die so that they could move from being separated from Him to being His child. The way the world will know is through you and me. I don't know why, but I know it's true. the way that your neighbors and their brokenness and hurt and shame and hopelessness are going to know of the love of Christ. There's just no way around it. It's through us. The way Chuliota, Oviedo, and East Orlando and nations will know of the love of God expressed through Jesus Christ in the cross. It's through us. So I want to pray. In Acts chapter 4, the beginning of our family, along that movement, they were scared too. And they were nervous. And they realized it would be harder to share the gospel. But they knew it would be better. So they asked the Lord for something called boldness, which is the willingness to do the harder thing, the ability to do what I can't do on my own. So I want to pray right now and ask the Lord for that. Now I want to encourage you, that person that's been coming to mind this week, find a chance to share your story with them and invite them into the story of God's love for humanity. Lord, we ask you for boldness. Lord, we're all different personalities. We're all different types of confidence, and we're just everybody's. But Lord, I ask you that you would fill us with your boldness by your Spirit. And Lord, that you would help us everybody's to share the good news of Jesus Christ everywhere, every day. Just a bunch of ordinary people following the one who has saved us and brought us into relationship with the Father forever. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.